Welcome, welcome, your Backup Plan tribe, to another awesome show from your Backup Plan app. I am so delighted to be here with you guys today. My name is Tina Ginn. I am over here at your Backup Plan app. I'm the creator and developer of the app. I'm also a best-selling author of In the Blink of an Eye. Just like that, snap of your fingers, your life changes in a blink of an eye forever. And that's, you know, for everything, whether it's a flood, a wildfire, your house burning down, or a hurricane, or even when you go to the doctor and you have heard that you have cancer, or that you're rushed in with a heart attack, or you're in a car accident, or you have a work accident. There's so many things that determine a life-changing event. And today is no different. We have a special guest on our show today. Her name is Danielle Ross, coming from Southern California. And her title of the story is called After Goodbye, Regrets and Lessons After Losing My Father. That's going to be an amazing story. I'm so excited to start. I'm also a financial advisor and an emergency preparedness coach. So you've got a whole bundle here of things that we can help you with. We're on all podcast platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest, and probably even more that I don't even remember because it's just craziness with all the social media. So you can find me anywhere. Just type in my name. But I'm excited to be here, you guys. We're going to have a short commercial and come right back. Welcome, welcome back. Wow. You know, on our show today, we talk about real life stories with really amazing guests on our shows about their life-changing events in their lives, whether it's tragedies, trauma, sickness, or even accidents. And in the blink of an eye, just like that, how quickly life happens, how quickly something happens, something life-changing that comes unexpectedly and hits you. That's what we're talking about here. And, you know, sometimes we're just not given that 5-minute evacuation notice, sometimes not any time at all. And we have to make those right choices and those right decisions, having the right state of mind and emotions, and to be in the right state of mental state of mind. And in most cases, that just doesn't happen because it hits us so hard that we just lose the capacity to be able to think appropriately in that shocking event. And so it's nice to have a plan. It's nice to be prepared for whatever might hit us. And we're going to have, in October, we have some webinars booked live stream on our Facebook group. So check that out down below in the description box. And we're going to bring on Danielle over here on our show. Let's bring her in to our stage right now. We had her backstage. I'm so happy to have you here, Danielle. She comes to us from Southern California, and I'm excited to hear all about your story. You know, we expect our parents to have a plan. I think the majority of us think that, and sometimes it really hurts when they don't. So I'm excited to hear your story. Thank you, Danielle, for coming on our show today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. And thank you, everyone, for just listening. Overall, like, I know that loss and grief are just really heavy topics. Sometimes they're taboo topics. Sometimes it's just like, I've heard people say, if you talk about loss and grief, then something's going to happen. So we just don't talk about it. But then I've learned from experience that just not talking about it is not an answer. It's not a solution. It really just makes things worse. And so for me, I'm just sharing my story of just my dad's recent passing. He actually passed away literally 2 months ago. And so in that, he passed away actually on my daughter's birthday. So it's just like that will forever kind of be in our minds and it'll forever be there. So thinking about what I've said, what I wish I could have done differently, But then at the same time, I'm still holding onto the good memories and still trying to keep his legacy alive and still trying to heal and make sense of it all. Because, you know, for those that have been through a loss, it's sometimes it's just those waves where it hits you and you'll see a commercial and you're like, oh, my dad is no longer here. Or, you know, recently going to a restaurant that he took me to for the first time. And I'm like, oh, I remember my dad taking me to this restaurant 10 years ago. But then I also have the not so good memories and saying, okay, my dad was kind of harsh when I was growing up, or I wish that he had took the time to learn more about me, or those moments I'm like, why wasn't I enough? You know, so it's just, it's these moments where the kind of good and the not so good kind of mix together. But in that, I'm like, well, what do I want to do differently for myself? And it makes me think about end of life planning. I think a lot of times people say, oh, I'm in my 20s, I'm good. Oh, my 30s, I'm good. I don't have to think about it. Or when you get a new job and you have to select your benefits and you're just thinking, oh, beneficiary, well, I don't need to think about that. I'm 20, I'm young, I'm free. You know, that's not a big deal. But in that, you just assume that everything's going to be fine. And then you're okay one day and then something happens the next day. And you're like, oh, I'm glad that I set up this plan, or I told family and friends, this is what I want to happen in the event of this, because you just, you never know what the next moment holds.
That's for darn sure. Amen to that.
Yeah. So just, yeah, that's true. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So just a little bit of my background story is just with my dad. We were, I don't want to say estranged, but I tried to be close to him, but it was just this whole thing of like, I would hear from him like maybe once or twice a year. So on holidays, you know, I would text him pictures and kind of reach out and he might respond to like a text or two. But other than that, he never checked in. He never called. And so, you know, when I did get that call, kind of finding out like everything that happened, you know, just I knew something was wrong instantly. My dad had told us a couple years ago that he had cancer. So I was just thinking, I knew that he didn't have a lot of time. And thankfully, I was able to see him maybe like a year and a half ago, because I wanted to just go and get closure and make amends. And what I kind of wanted to happen didn't exactly happen, but I still got something. I still have those memories. So I'm glad that I still went. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, I wish that we would have just had a conversation. I wish that we just kind of gotten that final goodbye, you know, like in the movies where you get that. And I'm realizing in real life, a lot of times you don't have closure. And so in that, you know, my stepmom had actually called me and told me what happened. And, you know, it's just like, it was kind of a shock. But then I kind of knew it was coming because I thought it was going to be his cancer. And there's actually something different that was sudden that kind of where he kind of left this earth. And I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't see that happening. Cause my dad was always healthy. He went to the gym. He was in his mid-70s and he's always been, you know, the bill of health. And so in that, it was just like, it's kind of like a shock. And then just trying to figure out what comes next. And so, you know, it was just kind of interesting because I was watching a TV show that, you know, like I watched from time to time, and the character on the TV show just lost her dad. And so I was watching her kind of process it. And I'm like, I wonder what would I do if I was in that case? And then after watching that TV show, like a month later, my dad ended up passing. And so it's just like, oh, you know, it's, you know, it still sometimes doesn't seem real. But the whole thing is that I realized that after his passing, so many questions came up. And so people are like, well, Danielle, what were your dad's wishes? And I'm like, I don't know. We'd never talked about that. And saying, well, what was his favorite color? And I'm like, I don't know. You never told me. Where's his will? I don't know. We never talked about it. Where were his last wishes overall? And I'm like, you know, people kept asking me and, you know, trying to, you know, for me, I'm an only child. So I was the one that kind of had to break the news and kind of keep everyone together. And, you know, talking to my dad's side of the family, I hadn't talked to in years, you know, and, you know, kind of calling my dad's job and letting them know what happened and just, you know, just trying to get everything in order. And just thinking, I'm like, wow, you know, this is really hard. I'm like, this is what people must go through, or just trying to figure out how to pay for the funeral, you know, and little things like that. And thankfully, my dad was very organized. So, you know, we had a folder regarding life insurance policies and you know, just different things, but still haven't found the will. You know, and at this point, we're like, we're not going to find it. But I'm just like, for myself, I want to make sure, you know, just saying, okay, that I have my will taken care of and updated, which I did recently, and that all my life insurance papers, I have it in a folder. So, you know, if anything does happen, which it will someday, you know, realistically, I can't hide from it. It's just, it's kind of how everyone goes. But knowing that, you know, I want that in a folder so people won't be left guessing, you know, okay, well, where is this? Or does she want to be kept on life support? Or she wants a blue casket because blue's her favorite color, you know, so different things like that. And so, you know, in the midst of it, but it was this whole thing of just working with my stepmom, who I really wasn't like close with. And I appreciate her, you know, being respectful and asking me about kind of what I wanted. And then for me trying to respect her as she grieved, as she lost her husband, for me as I lost my dad, and trying to kind of figure out everything. You know, my dad's in, located in another state. So just kind of going and kind of dropping everything here, trying to figure out everything with work, but just really trying to face things. And so, you know, it was unfortunate my dad passed away at home. So, you know, I kind of going and just kind of making kind of amends and trying to figure it out, you know, sitting in his chair, you know, 3 a.m. in the morning, literally where he passed, and not to get too graphic or too many details, but just really sitting there just saying, now, what do we do? You know, what do you want us to know? What is there something, some hidden treasure you left behind? Is there some letter that when we move a book on the bookshelf that it's just going to fall out and it's going to give us all the answers? And no, that didn't happen. And that's once again, probably only likely happens in the movies, but that's just kind of where, you know, I kind of, I am, because I think we're all just wondering, you know, what happened and what went wrong. And there's still so many question marks. And, you know, as many people know, there's so many things that are never resolved. It's not like a book or a movie or, you know, like some cartoon. There's still so many things that I'll just never know. You know, I still won't know why I wasn't enough, you know, why I felt like that, even, you know, with his funeral, you know, trying to plan everything and still feeling kind of like a ghost myself, you know, kind of interesting, like the funeral, they showed pictures of my dad and my stepmom, but there was one picture of him and I together. And I tried to kind of scrape up pictures, but I realized I didn't have any pictures, you know. And you think, okay, I'm in my mid-30s, almost 40, and didn't really have anything to show for it. And it's just like going to the funeral and, you know, it was the wedding album, the wedding that I wasn't invited to, you know, of my stepmom and my dad. And it's just kind of like, everyone's like, oh, well, your dad was this, and your dad always cooked for us, and he babysat our kids. And I'm just like, and you know, he's like, my dad sent out birthday cards to everyone in his community, every single birthday. And yet I'm like, sometimes I'd get a phone call for my birthday, he would send a card, but there were times where he forgot. And I'm like, I'm an only child. How do you forget my birthday? So, you know, in this is trying to just reconcile everything. It's still things I'm trying to make sense of. And honestly, as most people know, if you think about it too much, you'll lose sleep. You kind of lose it a little bit mentally, but there's things that I just realized that I had to let go. And, you know, at his viewing, you know, kind of the just viewing after he passed, really just, you know, I had my time alone with him and just talking to him for just 5 minutes, knowing that he's not there. He can't respond. You know, there are things that'll go unsaid, but just having my closure and my peace and having to say, you know, this is pretty much what I'm going to get, but at least I can say something. You know, some people write a letter, some people, you know, write a song, some people kind of act out in other kinds of ways, some good, some not so good. But I said, it's up to me what I want to do with that grief. But saying, okay, you know, for me, it's been that catalyst. I needed to change my life. And so there's many things that I've done in my life and saying, okay, what really is a priority? You know, saying, I always wanted to travel. Maybe now's the time versus saying, I'll just wait until I retire. I'll just wait until this. And tomorrow literally is not promised. So what do I do at the time that I have now? So
that's right. Yeah. It's very interesting how you put all that together, because, you know, people don't realize when you lose someone that you love and care about, that there's regrets, and that not only do you hope that they have their shit together, so to speak, but you also hope that you could have that closure, and that, because there's always things that are left unsaid, and that's like the worst part. It's like the worst part for, I wish he would have told me that he had that investment account. I wish he would have told me that he had a little safe somewhere underneath the floorboards, or in the wall, or in a closet. Like, I wish that he would have had a will, or if he did, where did he put it? Or I, like, there's so many wishes that why do we not take the time to have those family conversations and not think about, well, Dad, I want to talk to you about it now because, you know, something could happen. Well, no, something could happen in 10 or 20 years from now. But it's a good idea to have some sort of plan, at least if it's not updated, at least it's a start. You know, passwords, computer information, digital information now. We don't have all this mail coming to us. Did he bank at one bank or two or three banks? Or you know, like, do you have to go around to each bank and find out if your dad had an account there? That's the kind of messed up stuff that makes the grieving process so difficult. So much more challenging. But yeah, because I just wanted to add that to your little story there a little bit.
Yes, that's so true. And that's such a great point that you bring up. Like, since this loss, and before, that's the difference to my parents, is like with my mom, she's told me, she's written in a book, like just this little flimsy notebook for a dollar. And she's like, this is the cake, how I want to be cremated. This is the songs that I want you to play. This is what I want to be dressed in. Here's the key to this. Here's the passwords for this. If this happens, go here to the ATM, you know, right away and do this, this, and this. And so, you know, my mom's still alive, thankfully, so I still have her. But in this, it's just started a conversation for us to talk about that and to talk about little things, you know, because it's like with my dad, it gets me, he's a financial planner. So that's the part that kind of gets us, financial planner, always had everything in order, always had a backup plan. Now, in this case, in his passing, you know, thankfully we had information about some of his financial things, but in that, since him and my stepmom had only been married for so many years, not even 5 years, there was just so many things like that wasn't known. Like, you know, the contractors that did the work on in their home the last 2 years, and if they owe a balance. And so in that, like after he passed, then that's when we get all these things, like, you know, all this debt of over like $10,000 in debt that we didn't know about, and all these different things. And who do you contact and what do you do with this? And I'm like, it's still kind of shocking because I'm like, yeah, my dad was a financial person. So he was a planner and he always was trying to teach me how money worked. We're just like, well, what's going on? You know? And so now in this, it's unfortunate because I think the biggest thing is that people don't realize that when you pass away, that person that passed away, they don't have to worry about the bills and the debt anymore. It's the people that are left behind. So in this, it's just like with my stepmom, it's unfortunate because she doesn't, you know, they used her retirement for home improvement projects, which is a whole nother thing. And so now kind of with her, now it's just her income again. Thankfully, she has her home that she had before they got married. But then it's just like, what does she do now? Because now she was already kind of struggling before and nothing against her. But then it's just like, now it's just like, how is she going to retire? What is she going to live on? And she's, you know, she's almost 60. So in this, it's just kind of like her scrambling to kind of come up with a plan, plus to somehow figure out the debt. Thankfully, it was all in my dad. All of that work out, but it's just like, what are your next steps? And for her, you know, it's, she's dealing with kind of falling apart every single day emotionally and trying to kind of support her through it and then figure out, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? You know, so it's certain things that I can't help her with, you know, it's just things that are kind of beyond me. But it's just like that whole thing of, once again, of having a plan, saying, okay, if you lose your income source, like my dad losing his income, you know, what is your plan? You know, knowing, you know, it's just little things like she didn't even know how much they had in their joint bank account. So then when she found out, she's like, okay, it's just enough to cover this month's mortgage. And then there's nothing else. So in that, I'm like, if those are things you talk about ahead of time, you can have a backup plan and say, okay, we're going to have 2 months worth of mortgage, or, you know, extra money, or, you know, this is where I kept money hidden in my sock, or like you said, under the floorboard, like something, knowing that, you know, there's a 20-year age gap between my stepmom and my dad, and knowing he had cancer. I'm like, these are things that we, like, should have conversations that should have been had, you know? And so,
yeah,
I get on my part too, is things that I should have known, but my dad was just really secretive in a lot of ways. So as I said, I didn't even know his favorite color, his favorite food. And it wasn't from a lack of trying. It's just, it was almost like he was a CIA agent, you know, it's just like this guarded secret. And just things like even just his baby pictures that he had locked away. And I'm like, why is that such a big secret? You know, it's things that I felt deprived of, but just thinking with his wife, even, you know, with my mom, where they, my dad and my mom were married for like over a decade. And there's things she's like, yeah, I didn't even know his favorite color. And so it's not like for lack of trying, but in this, I hope that this kind of opens people's eyes to, you know, even after the pandemic, I'm like, if that wasn't eye-opening enough, that you have to have a plan. And especially for those that are left behind, you got to do something. Like, yeah. If you love them, not to kind of say, okay, if you love them, you'll do this, this, and this, but you know, it's like for my daughter, I love her enough to not want her to struggle. You know, I want to leave something for her, leave something to the side for her. And so she's not guessing, you know, my daughter's only, she's not barely turned 6. So, you know, hopefully she has many more years on this earth, but I don't know how much time we both have, you know, even with her dad, how much time he has. But that's why I'm trying to set things in motion. You know, it kind of reminds me not to kind of get too much off topic, but you know, thinking of like a someone that I knew, like just kind of random story that I heard, and it was a mom and she had her daughter and they lived in a nice area. And so it was unfortunate because the mom ended up having a heart attack and passing away in her car. And it was unfortunate because since she didn't have a huge community, they didn't find her for a little while and her car was just parked on the street. And so in that, you know, it was unfortunate, but with the mom, she had it set up. So then her funeral was already planned. You know, she didn't know, you know, when she was going to pass away, but I remember going to her funeral and, you know, she had it set up to where she had something set up financially for her daughter. Her daughter was only like 10 at the time. And she had kind of contingency plan that if something happened to her, like she had no, you know, she's the only child, no aunts and uncles, no parents, no existing family. She had family friends that she knew. So right when she passed away, they came to the funeral. They took her daughter. Everything had been legally transferred to them. Everything was planned. And I'm just like, that's kind of what I want. It's unfortunate that you kind of have to think about it. But in that, it was kind of a smooth transition because the daughter didn't have to go to foster care. She didn't have to just kind of have this kind of in between or anything like that. She was just transitioned. Everything went to the family friends. It was an adjustment, you know, moving to another state, but all that was set up. And so I'm like, that's kind of what I want to have in place.
Well, that's really interesting too, because your backup plan app just has it all there, like with tabs, and you go to each section and you start filling them out. Whether you need them tomorrow or not, it's there. And one of the comments I wanted to make about what you had mentioned was that one of the biggest changing, it's like the debt for United States or the debt that Canada has, you know, how they show it sometimes and there's all these digital numbers and how it just keeps revolving and increasing constantly. Well, that's what these accounts are like in United States, in the UK, Australia. I mean, I don't know about some of the European countries, but on the majority of all countries, the unclaimed money has increased every single minute of every day because people like your dad, who should be planning, right? But a lot of people, I've spoken when I first went into the business and I thought, oh, he's an architect. He has his crap together. Oh, he's a lawyer. He has his crap together. No. A dentist. No. It doesn't matter who you are. I'm not sure why. I think it's because we're not really sure of all the different things that we need to prepare for until it happens. And it's like, oh,
yes.
I could use doing that and I should be doing that because that didn't work and I can't find that for him. So now I need to do this for myself. Whereas in our webinars, and we talk about not only those conversations that you have to have with your family, sometimes loved ones, sometimes sisters, brothers, or your parents, or your partner, like whoever, even best friends you could have conversations with. And we talk about the kinds of things we need to ask you. For example, for you, in a webinar, I would say, what would happen if this happened? What do you want the picture to look like to you? But what happens if something happened to your daughter? Now it's not happening to you, but you're going to be hugely affected by this change. And how, what kinds of things will it affect you for? And those are the kinds of things we need to prepare you for. So you take your family picture basically and say, okay, I have a spouse, I have a daughter, and I have me. So what happens if my spouse goes? What happens if he gets deathly sick and I have to spend time in recovery? What happens if it's me? What happens if it's my daughter? So you take each different scenario and you say, how can I make things better so that when it does happen, we have something to fall back on? We have, oh, okay, we talked about that. Like, nothing seems to be a problem when you've already had these discussions. It's like going into a business meeting and everybody's around this big board table and everybody's chit-chatting. But there's always a leader in the group. And so the leader usually says, okay, everybody, stop talking. Okay, we're going to get the meeting started now. Okay, so what's on the agenda? This, this, and this. And then we have a talk about it. Well, why don't we do that with ourselves, like with our own families and friends? Because we care about them. And sometimes your best friend's sickness can also affect you. Like, maybe you're going to end up taking her to the cancer clinic, you know, two or three times a week. What happens with work then? Like, you need some sort of idea of how you're going to work out this issue before it happens. Because after it happens, it's like, okay, well, that's great. Can't find this, can't find that. Now what? And let me tell you, the banks are not the easiest to deal with. I'm just saying, like, they don't want the money if it's, yeah, there's a big investment.
That's so true.
In
and that's where we were. And that's honestly where we still are now.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
First off, what I noticed was they don't know how to talk to you.
Yeah, that is very true to bring that up.
They don't know. They say the weirdest things. That's what I found anyways. And one lady even looked at me and she said, oh, I'm sorry for the loss of your father. And then she just stood there and stared at me. Well, what are you expecting from that comment and the stare? Like, do you want me to faint? Or do you want me to start bawling? Like, what exactly do you want from that comment? That to me is unpassionate. It's not, has no passion to it and has no compassion to it. It's just a blank slate statement that they've been told to say. And she didn't really even know how to comfort someone. And, but you want, the bank wants to keep your account, of course. They want to make sure that money stays in their account. So yeah, so they sometimes make things very difficult to maneuver. I know I'm talking too much.
Yes, and that is a really good point that you bring up, and it just reminded me. Oh no, that's fine, because it's all really good points, because it makes me think about, like, for those that are listening, you know, knowing, like, the biggest things that I didn't realize that were going to be the barriers beyond the death certificate is having my dad's social security number and date of birth. And so in that, we end up finding that his birth certificate was wrong initially, and then there was like an amendment to it. Didn't know that at all. And so without that, I couldn't do anything. So it was hard enough already being out of state and the 1 hour time difference. But then the biggest thing is they're like, oh, we can't look stuff without a social. And I'm like, I don't know what it is, you know? And so it's like the social and the date of birth, and like, we'll get you every time, whether it's banking, whether it's medical, you know, now it's kind of covering like the ambulance bill, you know, that need to figure out, his hospital stay when he passed. It's all those things that now that I need to call on and figure that out. And I'm like, thankfully, I have his social and his date of birth. I don't have his Medicare card. I don't have his VA benefits information, but I can work with what I have. But once again, it's like, if all that's hidden, then no one can do anything, because it's like, okay, well, they're not going to cover it unless I have that information. And it can be stuff that can get covered, but without it, even the life insurance policy, you know, just knowing, saying, hey, so-and-so, you're the beneficiary, you know, just kind of knowing those little things. And like you stated, a lot of people really aren't trained when it comes to grief. You know, talk to people, the cell phone company, and they don't even say, you know, I'm sorry for your loss. You're just like, okay, you have to pay the bill. We're going to shut it off. And you're like, well, I don't know anything about, you know, this phone plan. This, my stepmom was dealing with, you know, with my dad's plan. He handled that himself. So she had to find his bill, figure out when it was due, figure out how to pay it, how he paid it, because she can't log into the account. She doesn't have the username or password. So it's all these things, you know, and of course, you're not just going to say, okay, we're just going to take a day in the midst of crying in between phone calls and people putting you on hold and they're on vacation and the time difference. And you can only call, you know, like the bank for this certain department. They're 3 hours time difference. They're closed on the weekend and they're only open for 4 hours a day, which doesn't help because the 4 hours when I'm working, you know, it's all those things that have to be kind of figured out. And so, you know, as you stated, it's a lot. But if you have that in place, like even if you don't need that plan now, saying, okay, this person, you take care of my finances. This is where I have this here. I have money hidden here. I don't have this hidden here. This is in your name and my name versus this is just in my name, you know, all of these different things. So, you know, it's so many good points that you bring up, because it's stuff that, like, I hadn't even thought about myself, you know, personally. I had a health scare a year ago and everything was fine. And then ended up having literally a health emergency and having to go to the emergency room. Didn't plan. I was just in pain. And that pain turned into over $300,000 medical surgery. That was emergency surgery. Lost over 3 liters of blood. And in that was just like, was in the hospital for 2 to 3 days. And I tried to get out of there as quick as I could, because I'm like, okay, if I go past this hour, they're going to charge me. I wasn't prepared for the $5,000 plus that was my balance, you know? And it's just like, in that, I was just sitting there and they're like, okay, well, we have to do surgery now. And I'm just like, well, I need to figure out what do I want to say to my daughter? You know, I need to tell this person this. And so I'm just sitting there, you know, in the emergency room, and I'm like, okay, they're going to take me into surgery in 30 minutes or less. Who do I want to call? What do I want to say? And so in that, I know a lot of people don't want to think about it, but just think about that. You know, something does happen, emergency, you're in a car accident, your appendix ruptures, your arm falls off, something, you know, you need to say, you know, this is what I want to say to these three people. You know, if I don't say to them, you know, I've written a letter to my daughter. So, you know, I have some place in a safe place. And I told her, I know she's only six, but I'm like, if anything ever happens to me, you know, look in my safe and there's a letter written to you. So you know what to do, or you know that I always love you, or that I'm always proud of you. You know, I can give that to her. So of course she won't remember, you know, and hopefully she won't ever have to access that letter anytime soon, but just having something in place like that backup plan, as you stated.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when you're in it, it's just like a one big, huge fog. And it's so hard to get your brain to work, I find. Like, it's just, it's like you can't think straight. And it's like, have you ever gone to go to an exam and you're looking at the questions and you're thinking, did I study this information? Like, did I study something like totally wrong? Because none of these questions look like anything that I studied. It's kind of like that. And it's like trying to find
exactly
the answers in your head. That's what I kind of use as an
exactly. And that's what it feels like.
Yeah. And then the people, like, I don't know how
it makes sense. And that's a perfect explanation. Yeah.
I don't know how many times you have to say to somebody on the phone when you're trying to get through the person's account information or whatever it might be for whatever reason. And the person on the other end will say, yes, I need to speak to him. He's passed away. Well, you can put him on the phone because I need to speak to him. What part of that do you not understand? But if you're emotionally upset about the death, that hurts even further. It's like somebody took a knife and just kept on screwing it into your heart every time when somebody says that. So that's why it's so important to have your crap together. So, but most people don't know what that crap is supposed to be. Like, what do I need? And so that's why with your backup plan that I created, it gives you all the guidelines. It's like having an assistant and you just fill it out. You can take pictures. So if you lose your social insurance card, or if you don't know where it is and you filled it out for your, say, your mom, then you have all that information right there. You don't need to look for anything.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing. It's the importance of having it at your fingertips, because as you know, it's like when someone passes, it's a lot of things are time sensitive before they lock their bank account or freeze things. Or even when we were trying to plan, you know, the funeral home saying, okay, we can only keep him for so many days, but then trying to work with a VA and they're like, well, we can't do anything for 2 weeks, you know? So just knowing that things are time sensitive and just trying to navigate the system, like, okay, press 1 for this and press 4 for this and press 5 for this. And then you press 5 and then like, okay, press 1 for this, press 2 for this, press 4 for the, you know, and you're just going through like each menu, you know, and then you reach someone and like, oh, they transferred you to the wrong person. Let me transfer you. I'm like, no, I've been transferred 4 times. And then click to the next person. Right. And it's just like, you're grieving. And so, you know, as you said, another important part that you brought up is just knowing the important details too, like username and passwords. So it reminds me, I was talking to a family member recently and their husband, they were married for like over 30 years, but when their husband was passing away, he was suffering from dementia and we didn't know how bad it was. So it was like an uncle. We didn't know how bad it was until after he passed away, she found out that he forgot to file taxes for a couple years and she's dealing with the IRS for that. And then also with his phone, he has a popular phone brand. We won't go into all of that. But with the phone brand, she doesn't know just the code to unlock the phone. She's been trying for 2 years and they say, well, we can't give you anything. You have to go to probate to just get that code for us to reset it or get access to his phone. It's been over 2 years since he's passed. And so in that, you're like, at this point, is it even worth it? But in that, because she didn't have like just a 4 to 6 digit code, they want her to go to probate and go to court just to unlock his phone or just to unlock his account because he had all these gadgets and devices that were all connected to each other. And just because she didn't know the username and password, she couldn't get to any of that. And it's been almost 3 years now, 2 years, like almost exactly 3 years, and still can't get into the phone. And I'm like, okay, is it worth hiring a lawyer, going to court just to unlock a phone, the 6 digit code? You know, and it's just like little things that, like you say, that people don't think about it, but just know, you know, the PIN numbers, the passwords, the usernames, just the email addresses, just anything, you know, that can make things easier.
That's for darn sure. Boy, oh boy. It's like, hallelujah, hallelujah, because it's hard. It's so difficult. And even if they don't pass away, if they have a brain injury or anything, it's like, then what? You know, I had a family that there was 8 of them, a big, huge Italian family. And the single brother of the 8 in the family had a bad car accident, ended up in recovery, like in a long-term 4, 5, 6 month recovery from the accident. And everybody, all the brothers and sisters are all fighting over, well, who's going to his condo? Who's going to pay the bills while he's in recovery? And who's going to look after all that stuff? And everybody was fighting over who has to do it. You know, like that's a huge job.
Yeah.
And it's really hard when nothing has been laid out or even mentioned. It should be like a course in school, you know, for kids to learn. So as they grow up, it's just a natural thing that we do. And for some reason, we avoid it like the plague. We just don't want to have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
I find your story quite amazing. That's very true. And like I stated, I feel Yeah, I can feel your, you know, frustration with the whole process.
Yes, it is frustrating because it's like, I think we're all, you're grieving, but you're angry. And it's like, how do you miss that person and be angry with them at the same time? Of course, they can go hand in hand, but it's just like, you miss them, but you're angry with them at the same time. And like you stated, just trying to figure out who gets what, who doesn't get this, who should get this, you know, and it's just like, my thing is, I'm just sometimes like, just I wipe my hands clean of it. You know, yesterday, actually, you know, paid off the funeral and didn't know how it was going to happen. It was a miracle they got paid off. But it's just like, that's when it kind of hit me like, this is kind of the end. You know, like that was kind of one of the final pieces. The other things, the medical bills trickle in, other things kind of pop up. But just that pain for the funeral is like what really is just like, oh, that's the goodbye. That's official. You know, it's like one thing we had the service. It's one thing we had this, the cemetery and everything else. But just paying off that funeral. And I'm like, no, then that's it. You know, and it's just like, okay, still trying to process that, you know, not letting it bring me down. But then once again, I'm like, it's just the finality of it all. You know, it's like, okay, it was kind of real before, but just paying that off, like that's that final piece of the puzzle. And then it's like, okay, how do we move on with our lives? You know, trying to repair the relationship with my stepmom, trying to make sure she's taken care of, but then setting boundaries and knowing I can only do so much. I didn't win the lottery. I didn't get the jackpot. So I can't solve all of her woes. You know, I can't always be there when she's crying or broke down or different things. I'm like, I still need to take care of myself too. So, you know, as you stated, it's still kind of there. It's still real. It's only been 2 months, so it's still fresh. But just figuring out, okay, what do I want to do moving forward? I can't stay stuck in this moment forever. I can grieve. I can cry. I can process everything, but I can't live in this moment because I just, life keeps going on. As you know, people pass away, things happen. And people still have weddings, still have birthdays. You still win the lottery, you still have to keep moving forward.
Absolutely. That's actually perfect. Because what I find is it takes longer to grieve the longer that it's messed up. The longer that you have to deal with, I call it crap, because it's not being able to reach the right person. It's like you can't get that done and you can't finish this part. And now this is thrown at you. And now the bank is saying this or that, or, you know, it just takes so long to go through that whole process that now you're not grieving because you have to deal with this other stuff. And so it's just prolongs, because then when you finally get it finished, if it's 1 year or 3 years or 5 years, however long it takes you to get through all of that, you really start your grieving process after you get all the crap done, because there's no time to do that. There's not the ability to let down your guard, so to speak. So that's why, for both financial reasons, because there's difficulties, of course, but also emotionally for yourself, to not be able to start that grieving process and complete it so that you feel whole again. And so that's why I felt the universe directed me to do this for people, for that reason, to have more of a controlled, loving process instead of a frustration and a, you know, because it causes arguments within the family sometimes, and it's just a whole bunch of yuckiness. So yeah. So that being said, Danielle, what kind of last minute, you know, I hate to end it because I'm sure we could talk about this for another hour with no difficulty, but that being said, what kind of final message would you like to give the listeners?
Yes. I'm sure maybe it sounds cliche, and I'm sure the people said it before, but do really just treat every moment like it's your last. So, you know, for that family member that maybe you're estranged from, or someone you haven't heard from a while, just check on them, you know, check in with them, make sure everything's okay. Just say, I love you, you know, more often. So it's just these times and everything that's happened has just reminded me to just connect with family that some I've never gotten connected with, some that I haven't talked to for years, and say, let's just plan a get together. Let's plan a family reunion, you know, and just making the most and making memories, because it's like we just assume that we say, oh, like I said, we're young and we have all this time, or, oh, they're, you know, they're not even, they're in their 60s, so they still have some time. Or, you know, even with our parents, you know, just making amends, you know, in that. And those questions that you might have, like with my dad, that I always want to ask him, why wasn't I good enough? You know, why didn't you spend time with me like you spent time with others? I was never able to ask him that, but just kind of getting the courage to ask those questions, because it's questions I'll be stuck with forever. You know, questions that sometimes keep me awake at night, and saying, if I had only asked him when I was supposed to, or I had planned, you know, I would kind of know. And I'm like, he never knew probably that I was feeling like that. Or if you're doing something, you're accomplishing something, like for me, you know, starting a business, and I never got a chance to tell my dad that. And I'm like, he never got a chance to say, I'm proud of you, you know, and different things. Like, I'm thankful, because kind of a side note to the stories we wrap up is that, you know, my birthday card. So it just, it's kind of interesting, like how it all happened. We were able to get that last card. He sent it, but it got sent back. So the address, everything was fine, and she never got it. Then thankfully we got it the day of his funeral. And my dad always just kind of signs it, you know, love, Dad. But in this case, he wrote a handwritten note. So we'll have that with us forever. It wasn't a long note. It was just a paragraph, but it was something that was know that, you know, that you love them.
That's beautiful.
And that you care about them. Things that maybe if it was argument, just solve things, resolve things, do those things. And I stayed a little bit earlier, you know, make your wishes known, you know, let people know. I'm not saying you have to tell them where your buried treasure is or where your fortune is, but just let people know, you know, this is where I have this. And if anything does ever happen to me, you know, take these steps, just let people give them the steps they need to be prepared. You know, the people that you trust, maybe it's family members that are just going to, you know, rob you. Hopefully that's not the case. But for those that you do trust, just leave it in a book where people can find it. So, you know, like in the movie, where they just have to piece together everything, and by the end of the movie, everything's resolved, you know. But try and set something up so people that are left behind are not left guessing.
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you so much, Danielle, for that. That's amazing. Thank you so very much. And listeners, listen to Danielle instead of me, because I say that all the time on every show, I think, every single show. Well, thank you, Danielle. Thank you so very much for being a wonderful guest. And I hope that our listeners are going to like, share, and subscribe to being able to show that, you know. It's funny, because at the end of my show, I always say, and I might as well do it now, if you are thinking of that special someone right now while you're watching this show, and you don't know how many more birthdays they will have, or you. So reach out to them, call them, knock on their door, FaceTime them, whatever it takes to tell them how much you love and care about them. Because you don't know when the last tomorrow might be. And so be present. And while I have this on the screen, make sure you like, share, and subscribe to the show. And that way, you know, you can also send this to your loved ones so that they can see what you are feeling, or what your thought process is, or what you're thinking. And, you know, and if you're not sure on how to start or what to do, then hop on over to our webinars on our Facebook group, which is linked down below in the description, because that way there's no pressure on you, and you'll be given a cheat sheet, and you can go down the cheat sheet and look at it, and we can have some fun webinars where, you know, we can have a coffee, you can have a drink, whatever, tea, water, whatever you want, but we can talk about these things that people want to know after something's happened to someone else, because you realize that life is precious and we just don't know how much time we have left here. And so why not have some sort of plan? If not all of the sections in your backup plan, maybe you pick one, and that's more than what you would have done before. So I always say just do something, because it's better than not doing anything at all. And so thank you so very much, Danielle, for coming out today, being our guest. We had nothing but technical difficulties with the show, but we ended up just doing a recording and then putting it up on YouTube after. So I'm so happy to be able to have done that with you, Danielle. Thank you so very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me just today as your guest. It's an honor and a privilege. And I just appreciate the opportunity and just don't want my story to be other people's story. So I'm like, if someone can just get something out of it, if they just give their family member just a hug, or if they say, you know, here's my debit card, whatever it might be, just I want to help someone just not have to go through the stress and heartache that I did. So thank
you. Absolutely. Thank you so very much, Danielle. So don't forget to smash that like button, because if you haven't, how come? Like, make sure you smash that like button for us girls over here. And, you know, we can look around the world in the last 5 years and, you know, shootings in schools and the streets and work accidents and car accidents and, oh goodness, overdoses and the pandemic, and not to mention the crazy wars and natural disasters and wildfires and floods and hurricanes. Like, the list goes on, and we haven't even gotten to any diseases or sicknesses yet. So there is a purpose in making sure that you have a plan, because you could lose your house in a second too, and everything's burned down and you have nothing except whatever's on your back. And that's difficult too. And trying to figure out where things are and deal with insurance purposes after and legal issues and all of that kind of stuff. So that's why you have me to help you out with that. So that being said, I always end with Carol Burnett, our show. And I'm so glad we had this time together just to have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started. And before you know it, comes a time we have to say, so long. So long, everybody. It was a pleasure to have you here. Please like, share, and subscribe to our channel so we can put more shows out here for you guys. Like Mike Tyson always says, everyone has a plan till you get punched in the mouth. So stay safe. Be kind. Sending love to everybody. And till next time.